Thanks, Pete. You guys sound pretty good for like just getting together and playing. No, it really is.
We prayed first.
See, God can do miracles. No, these guys are great. We love the fact we got so many musicians that come and play their part and be in the band each weekend. It's fantastic. I'm Greg Meyer, Pastor Jacob Swall. It's good to have you all here today. Beautiful fall weather. I'm vowing to get you out. I brought my phone down to run the timer because I'm a Packer fan, but not all of you are. And some of you, thank you. Oh, look at that, Green Bay, okay. And some of you actually want to watch the Vikings play. So I promise to get you out here by 12:15, okay? What? Okay, no, we'll get you out on time. So good morning. Good morning, yeah, good. It's good to know you're all here live. Well, we are going to be spending today and the next 3 weeks talking about guys. It's not easy being a guy. I've gotten a lot of pushback on this series. Okay, so let's be honest. How many of you are just saying, yeah, I don't think this is such a good idea? You know, so, like, be honest. Yeah, put your hand up a little bit. Or you got, like, give me a grunt. Yeah. Oh, come on. That's it? Really? No? Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, come on. All right, so, yeah, that's right. So it is. It's definitely treading into some areas that churches typically don't preach about. And you say, well, this isn't about everybody. It's only about the guys. Well, anybody here who doesn't interact with any guys ever, you're welcome to leave right now, right? So, but no, I think talking about guys is important. It's something that all of us need to dig into. I think you all know, too, that this isn't going to be a series that tells you this is how to be a man, a real man. This is what real men are like. No, it's, you know, that isn't what it's about. What will it be about? I don't know, but I hope to have it figured out within a month. You may notice that the women are able to have a retreat in 1 weekend. It takes us a month, yeah, to do some of this. Okay, but yeah, so this is a little bit of a risk, and it's not a real common thing to see, at least in a mainline church, if that's what we are. And it may be the dumbest thing that I've ever tried to do as a pastor, but my wife reminded me, looking back at what I have done in the past, it probably isn't the dumbest. Just maybe up there. Okay, so I'm not asking everyone to focus on guys, right? We are going to focus on guys, but I think what we're really focusing on, people, and this part of people that is guys, and how that fits into what it means to be a guy. And I think this is important stuff. So I'm not asking for, you know, or, you know, saying that, you know, that guys' issues are more important than women's issues. I'm not saying that we need a little more leniency or understanding because it's harder to be a guy, even though it clearly is. I'm just saying really what this is. Face it, guys are pretty messed up. This is not an easy time in the world to be a guy. And I'm not saying that it is easy for women, but it isn't an easy time in the world to be a guy. We don't know who we're supposed to be in the world. And I think it's about time we actually sit down and let God wrestle with it. And I also just kind of have to throw out there that you're not going to agree with everything I say. And that's okay, right? Because I'm not trying to give you answers. I'm trying to get the right conversation going. And I'll probably offend everybody at one point or another. I try to be an equal opportunity offender. So we'll try to balance that out. But just to let you know that this isn't all about me and my issues, I just thought I'd give you a glimpse at some of the next couple series we have coming up to show how we balance stuff. Our next series is It's Not Easy Being a Pastor. And then after that, we're doing a series called It's Not Easy Being Over 50. And then for Christmas, we'll make a real switch, and I'm going to talk about the gifts my parents never gave me. Okay, just so you know that it's, you know, not, this isn't about me. But let you know that. Okay, so talking about being a guy. Right away in the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, we get this picture that God knows who it is that we are all supposed to be. The book of Jeremiah, this prophet, opens with God speaking to Jeremiah and saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Now, I know that doesn't prove anything, you know, but what it does saying is that this is one voice among this constant chorus that God gives us that says, who you are, you know, this is, it's in my hands, and I understand it. Who you are and what you're trying to be and what you're struggling with is part of what I put there, all right? So work with me to put this together for you, all right? In God's mind, it isn't like a nice definition that all of us can just walk into and accept, but with God, we can all find a way into what it means to be not only a person, but a person who is a man. And that's an important thing for us to be talking about. Why isn't it easy? Why isn't it easy to be a man? And I think it isn't because there's a real lack of information or lack of models or lack of ideas of what it is to be a man today. It's more because there are so many. There's just so much information, so many possibilities, so many models, so many demands, so many expectations that no one can possibly do it. In fact, if you want to turn over your outline, your Sunday paper, you'll find an outline on the back, and you can follow along with that a little bit. And the first piece there, it says, what it means to be a man is unclear. It's incredibly unclear to us today. We don't know what we're supposed to do. That's the title today. Just tell me what's expected of me, okay, and I'll do it. Because I'm just overwhelmed with all the possibilities, all the things that are being asked me, all the stuff that's being shown me, and I just don't know what to do. Let me know how to be a man. And I wish it was that easy. And, you know, the second piece about that, well, and I would say, too, that, you know, all like I said earlier, it's not that there's a lack of information. There's not that there's a lack of, you know, models and things out there. It's just there's so much. But almost all of what we see out there is got two characteristics. It's unattainable and it's unhealthy. You know? So that's what we got to go on. All right, and that kind of brings us to the next one. To be all that men are expected to be is impossible. There's just no way we can do it all. Which makes us do one of two things, all right? Which is the stuff that people always do. When we get in situations as human beings, men aren't any different on this, and we get to something that's really important, and it's really unclear, and it's really impossible, we do what everybody does, and that is, we'll just do something, all right? So we look at what's a real obvious path. Here's a nice word. Okay, I'm just going to do that because it's just too hard to figure out. I'm just going to do that. That's out there. That's show me that model, that stereotype. I'm just going to be that. We either do that or we just opt out. Say, I give up. I'm not going to try to be a man. I'm just going to live in my parents' basement until I'm 56, you know? So then that's the next film. The options are to choose a stereotype or to opt out. That's really what we're at as a society. We either choose a stereotype and we go with it, or we opt out. And these stereotypes are caricatures. They're cliches. They're cartoons. But they're held up as if that's the way to do it. And they don't make sense with each other. So let me show you a little bit how about this works. You'll see a little a polygon. I'm going to call that the man box, okay? It's on your outline. There it is up there. And this is kind of how it works. So we've got this box, and this is... And I don't mean to be this as the kind of box that confines us, but I'm just trying to say for people who are men, somehow this box sort of shapes who we are. We've got to figure out who it is inside this box. And inside this box are all kinds of things. These are things that are inside us that want to be expressed. Their needs, their expectations that we wrestle with, that we got to figure out, and this is going to determine what we do with. And inside the box are these sorts of things. Now, I'm going to put four up here. This isn't the four. I think this is a very significant four, but there's probably others or different ways of doing it. But one of it is that I feel as a man, I need to be strong. I need to be strong. Another one, message that I constantly get and an expectation that's out there and also makes some sense to me, is I need to be brave. As a man, I feel like I need to be brave. Another one is I feel like I'm supposed to be a provider. I'm supposed to be a provider. And the last is, I'm supposed to be confident. I'm supposed to be confident. These aren't bad things. Those are good things. I think they actually are in the heart of men. Probably in women, too, in different ways. I think women will put different words up there, some of them reflecting some of the same qualities. These are important things for us to figure out. But we don't know what to do with them. And, you know, and because we don't know what to do with them, and because there's so many interpretations of them, and it's so hard, and they get so stereotyped, we end up kind of like doing that caricature thing, that stereotype sort of thing, which really doesn't fit. But it's so easy to do. I want you to see this. This is a commercial. It's actually from Amsterdam, so it's in Dutch. You don't need to understand it, believe me. Just see if this doesn't seem like something you know a little bit about.
Nou, dit is dus de huiskamer. En dan komen we hier bij de slaapkamer.
Oh, ja.
Met...
Oh,
Yuck, huh? you know, we recognize this. That stereotype, that caricature of what it means to be, well, women too, okay? But for men, I mean, we get it. We know that. It's easy to trade on. Do any of us actually want to be that? No. Do sometimes we end up being it at least once in a while? Yeah. Why? Well, it isn't like we just decide to be that. I'm going to be kind of a dumb guy who gets all excited about having my own, you know, man cave that's a cooler full of beer, you know, a closet full of beer, a walk-in closet of beer. I mean, no one ever makes a decision, and hopefully no one actually does it. But it sneaks up on us, doesn't it? I mean, we get these messages, and we find ways to respond, and we get positive reinforcement for it, and we get ideas, and it kind of works, and gradually we just say, you know, this kind of is working for me, and I'm just going to sell out, and I'm going to be that. You know, it's going to be my way of figuring out my way around being strong, brave, provider, and confident and stuff like that, even though it really doesn't make a lot of sense at all. You know, and so basically what we end up is that we end up into these different corners that surround it. We take our need to do these things, and we don't get them, we don't understand them, so we pick one or two of them, and we begin to, you know, just kind of go with that, and we end up with these. You want to flash up that next... Okay, so let me just walk you around these, right? There's the Iron Man. There's the Hunter. I'm going to top left, going to the right, the Hunter. You've got the Brave guy, the Troublemaker. You've got the Answer Man. This is not a political comment. I think Obama just represents politicians in general. Sort of, you know, they're supposed to have answers. A politician doesn't have the right answer every time, right? We want to get rid of them, all right? You got the successful business person, you've got the intimidator. Anyway, pop up to the next slide there. So we have, you know, each of those are ways and caricatures, stereotypes to say, well, I can't be all these things. I don't know how to be strong and brave and provider and confident all the time. So I'm just going to shoot for one of these stereotypes, okay? In fact, this one I think is just like the tough Hunter. This is actually a Currier and Ives drawing from a long time ago. I just thought it was so classic. So I'm not anti-Hunter, but if you do this, yeah, okay. You know, but this idealized thing that this is what a real man is he takes on an 8-foot bear with just a knife. You know, come on, really? All right, so back to, we have all these stereotypes, and we end up moving to them. And I think the thought process going on in our heads is something like, I can't do it all. So I'm going to take an element or two of it, and I'm going to do it with so much bravado that no one will ever possibly claim that I have a chink in my armor. All right? And so I'm going to specialize in it. Now, there's a problem with this, is when we sell out to being invulnerable or simply being tough or being the troublemaker or always trying to be right, the answer man being success as our way to be a real man, or I'm just going to be intimidating so whenever, you know, dares try to take me down. When we do any of those choices, make any of those choices, every one of them turns out to not be a synthesis of those needs that are within us that we're asked to wrestle with and we're asked to work out, but rather than being a synthesis with those at our center, we move away from them off into one corner and say, well, I'm just going to do that, and I'm going to pretend those other things don't exist, that I don't have to balance it all out. And the trouble is that all those things are unhealthy, they're unhelpful, and they aren't whole. They aren't whole. But why do we do it? Because of this. They are clearly defined, all right? I mean, these models, I had no trouble going to the web and finding a zillion pictures I could have used for each one of those, all right? Because they are so emblematic in our society that we know what they're like. All right, and that's nice, that kind of clarity. These caricatures, these archetypes are out there. They're very clearly defined. And also, each one of them has a reward system in our society built around it. Okay? If we do these things, if we at least look to the right group of people, we'll get rewarded and told, yeah, you're a real man because you do this. All right? You wear, you know, you're the Hunter. You're the intimidator. You've got the briefcase and the suit, you know, whatever it happens to be. And that reward system is around two things, both emotional, it answers those questions, right, that are working around inside of us, as long as we decide we're only going to try to answer one or two of them, right, and we're going to, you know, do them so strongly that we can kind of avoid the others. And it also has a reward system that's social. And that's meaning basically we do that by surrounding ourselves with other people who have adopted the same stereotype as we did. All right? So those people keep telling us we're doing a good job and we're being a real man. But like I said, they're unhealthy. They're unhelpful. They're not whole. There's pieces of us that are just left unattended. There's stuff that we are supposed to bring to the plate, bring to our families, bring to our community, bring to our relationships, bring to our work, that aren't there at all. And so here's the catch. And what I think God is about in all this, and it's really kind of where we're going to be headed in these coming weeks, is that manhood isn't found out on those extremes, out around the edge, right? When we just decide we're going to chase one direction or another. And there's certainly a lot more than just those. But it's found in the messy middle. It's not out there anywhere. It's someplace where we have to keep sticking in the middle, avoiding any of the caricatures, but wrestling with all that messy stuff that's in the middle. Now, God has given us a picture of this, a preview of that. This is how it's going to work. From the very beginning, the very opening lines of the Bible. Pop into that one. It says, now the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the, should say, waters there, typo on my part. The face of the waters, the word waters, mayim, it means chaos, all this stuff. All right, so the Spirit of God sees all this primordial confusion that is there. And God moves over that in dwelling, hovering, moving through all that. God says, let there be, and something happens. God creates. Now, what's interesting is God doesn't create these things and get rid of that. God takes this, and in the midst of all that chaos, in the midst of those waters, God creates. God makes things out of the midst of all of this messiness. You find your manhood. You find out what it means for you to be the man you were created to be, not out of just some nice, easy package, clear thing that's been defined for you, but with this mix of emotions and feelings and expectations and hopes and dreams that are planted in you, that are, some of them are common to all people, some of them are very unique to you because you are a man, some of them just unique because you're you. And God says, yeah, I'm not going to make all that go away, but you're going to find who it means for you to be a man, what it means for you to be a man within the midst of that. That image is there. And so then it goes on a little bit later in the same passage where God creates human beings. So God created humankind in God's own image. God created the male and female. God created them. All right, so this isn't just a man thing. It isn't just men that are created in the image of God. All people, women too, are created in the image of God, and they've got their own ways and all challenges figuring that out. But we were created in the image of God. The image of God, that we don't look like God. Well, I don't know, maybe we do. But no, I mean, we don't. I mean, if anything that we say, that's not what the image of God is talking about, isn't it? There's something about the character of what it means to be God. There's something about the substance of God that we as human beings, male and female, reflect. And that reflection, well, you've heard me talk about this before from other angles, but one of the reflections of that is this chaos, this messiness that we have to figure out what it means to be a man in the midst of. So just think about that. So when God appears, when God shows up in the Bible, what is it always like? One of the first stories is God shows up to Moses, and God is what? A burning bush. Oh, okay, that's easy. And God says, well, here's my name, by the way, Yahweh, which means I am who I am. Thank you, God, that was helpful. I was hoping for Bill, you know, or Moloch or something like that. No, I am who I am. All right, this is when else does God show up? God shows up then a little bit later to Moses as they're traveling through the wilderness and to the rest of the people of Israel. He's a cloud by day, or God appears as a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night to show them direction. I could just keep listing them. It's all this mess with Elijah shows up as this wheel of fire and all this kind of stuff. I think the one that maybe really hammers the point home well for us is when God shows up to Elijah. Elijah is terrified. They're trying to kill him. So he's running away. He's a prophet of God. He's running away. He goes up to the top of Mount Horeb, and he goes hides in a cave, a little cleft up in the mountain, fearing for his life. And God is going to pass over. And there's a huge storm that comes over. And God says, that must be God, powerful, strong. And he goes out and looks, and no, God wasn't in the storm. And then there's an earthquake. Well, that must be God. I mean, God, powerful, earthquake. No, God wasn't in the earthquake. Then there's a fire that consumes a mountain. That must be God. No, it wasn't in the fire. So all that's gone. And then the Bible has this phrase that then there was this, in Hebrew it says, kol demama dekah. You can't translate it in English, but if you did, it would be something like this voice that wasn't there. And it says Elijah heard it, and he goes out. And in that voice that he couldn't even hear, God says something to him. It isn't the image of God that we are called to be. Isn't this nice, neat thing? We are going to find what it means to be a man in the midst of the messiness. That stuff that's inside you that's driving you crazy, that you feel inadequate about, that you think you can never be well enough, and it seems to compete to be contradictory, it is in that that you will discover what it means for you to be a man. And it's by dealing with all of it. And not being perfect with it, but dealing with all of it. There's something dynamic. There's something about balancing tensions of competing truths. There's something about using restraint so that you don't fill your needs with something that just looks like it'll feel good and it'll take care of the job right now and I'm just going to go with it, but rather you're going to hold off and say, no, I'm going to keep letting myself be under construction so I can fill my needs. I can feel those expectations in ways that are significant. That's what it's all about. See, God is interested in men understanding how to be a man. I'm going to say for two reasons. And basically, this is what this series is going to be all about. God is interested in us understanding how to be a man for two reasons. And the first one is this. God planted the forces within each man that drives him. So those things that are inside you, that are driving you crazy, that make you feel inadequate, that you're worried about, God put them there. They're there for a reason. What God doesn't want you to do is to misunderstand them, and that we do a lot of that. The media, the world, even the church has not done a good idea or good job of helping us understand what those are, so we have misrepresentations that we think are the things that are inside us, and they're not the real ones. They're deeper down. We'll be talking about a lot of those things. So God planted the forces within each of us that drives us. God wants you to wrestle with them. God wants you to figure those out. God wants you to work with them. The other is that God wants to liberate men, that power that traps them, right? You'll notice there are three fill-ins on the line if you look on your sheet, and I'm only giving you the first and the last. This idea that, let me just say first of all, this isn't a series that says, okay, you know, society and has put all these demands on me as a human being. Now I'm going to go to church and I'm going to find out God has all the stuff God wants me to do too. No, and that's not what it is. God doesn't have another layer to throw on top of you. What God wants to do is to lift that. God wants to liberate you from the tyranny of all those things that are trapping you. And this is a twist, and this is that middle word. It isn't God wants to liberate you from all the things that trap you. God wants to liberate you with the things that right now you perceive as trapping you, or at least so many men do perceive as trapping them. This idea that I'm supposed to be strong, I can't possibly be strong all the time, I can't be strong enough. This idea that I have to be brave, but sometimes I'm afraid. No, God doesn't want to free you from those. God wants to free you with those. I'll talk about that in just a second. This is some pretty important stuff. There's holy stuff inside you. And this is stuff that we need to work with. So Paul is speaking here. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You men, women, I mean, you're going to take this in your own direction, but you can also see it in the men in your life, right? Don't conform to all those easy answers of what it could be like to be a man, right? Don't conform to those. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God says, I need you to think differently. I need you to think deeper. In fact, I need you to think beyond your capacity to think and understand. I need you to think the way I can show you what I created you for. And it's a level of thinking that you can't do on your own. You're going to do it because you receive my love and my spirit at work within you. Like I said, we'll be working on those these next 3 weeks. So here's the big deal. How am I doing on time? Oh, yeah, I'm going to get you on time for the game. Okay. This is a total concession to guys. I mean, I usually like could totally blow off the Vikings, but all right. True manhood. true manhood is discovered through the positive side of who you are, right? Not the negative side of who you don't dare to be. This is huge. Guys, you know this right away if you lock into that phrase. Because most of what we get as kids growing up, what the bullies told us, the people that pushed us down, that tried to make us conform to those stereotypes, is that you don't dare be weak. You don't dare let anyone ever know that you're afraid. You don't dare ever show a chink in your armor. You don't dare fail. No. It isn't where we find where our true manhood is. It is by working on the positive side of who we already are, who God already made us, who God made us. So the positive is, I am strong. I am brave. I am confident. These are the positives that God wants you to wrestle with. There's more. You can add more to that list, okay? But those are three really biggies. And here's the understanding about it. You can be strong and still need help sometimes. Those are not contradictory. In fact, you may find your ability to really, really be strong is that you know when you need help. Maybe as an employer, you know how to surround yourself with people that have strengths that complement yours, strengths you don't have, and that makes you stronger. All right? You can be strong and still need help sometimes. Or you can be brave and still be afraid sometimes. Bravery and bravery and fear are not opposite. Fear is the context of bravery. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it is doing what you know is the right thing to do, even though you're scared crazy. That's what courage is. That's what bravery is all about. Likewise, you can be confident with yourself and with your life and still sometimes be wrong. You can be confident and be vulnerable. You can be confident and still not be tough enough for some things. You can be confident even though you know that sometimes you're going to fail. You can be confident because you know how to learn. You can be confident because you know that you can be resilient. You can be confident because you know when you get knocked down, you can get up with the people around you that will lift you up. You can be confident because you've got an imagination. And you've got the love of God behind you that says, no matter what happens, I know that I can take another step. And I can continue to put my life together with God's presence and the people that God has given me in my life. That's so important to us. When we start looking at who we are from this positive side and understanding how it is I can be brave, even though I might be afraid sometimes, when we start doing that sort of thinking, we develop these really important skills. We start understanding what it means to have empathy. We start understanding what it means to be honest with ourselves and with other people. We start being able to give permission to other people to also be afraid even when they're brave, to be strong even when they have weaknesses, and to be confident even when they're not quite sure what to do next. We also discovered that we can have something in our lives called forgiveness. Forgiveness that isn't just, okay, it's all right, go ahead anyway, but it's actually transforming and makes us new and allows us to have other people be new as well. The negative side, that you don't dare to be stuff, the stuff that will not help you, that will drive you to one of those stereotypes because it will drive you crazy, that is this fear of being weak or afraid or a failure. I don't dare to be weak. I don't dare to be afraid. I don't dare to be a failure. This is a side that leads to shame. It's this makes us chase after those easy answers. It makes us play the most lethal game that human beings, male or female, can ever play, and that is the game of comparison. I may be weak, but I'm not as weak as he is. Or if I'm feeling weak, all I have to do is make him or her weaker, and then I'm not so weak. And relatively, I'm strong. You know, not a healthy game. Not a real game. Not a God-given game. It also fills us with this, I can say this, it also fills us with unworthiness. And it teaches us to build illusions around ourselves. It says this is really all that life is about. This is what it is to be a man. And just to deafen and to quiet those other voices within us that are looking to be expressed, and the people around us that we see are being hurt because we aren't who we could be. We aren't a full and a whole and a healthy person around us, because those things would threaten our nice little neat understanding of manhood. And we demonize, we isolate, we attack anyone who might try to bring those to our attention and to put them out there for us. So, our process of doing this, how do we begin to live in that messy middle? How do we start working that out? Well, we're going to all need some help, okay? We're going to need some help. And this is what it's going to take. First of all, it's going to take some help from God. It's going to take some help from God. These passages are so numerous, I like to kind of bring up another one almost every week. But this again, Paul is writing to a group of people who are really trying to come from one way of understanding the world and their lives into what Paul's trying to help them understand about Jesus. And he says this to them. He says, "No eye has seen, no ear heard, no human heart conceived what God has prepared for those who love God." Right? You can't figure this out on your own. This is beyond your thinking, beyond your comprehension. All right? But it's there, and it's waiting to be revealed to you. Now we have been given the spirit of the world, right? And we know where that can lead us. But the spirit that is from God, okay, I'm going to start this all over. Now we have not been given the spirit of the world, but we've been given the spirit from God so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. Remember those gifts bestowed on us by God. Those things that are in your heart already, all right? Those were given you by God. They were planted there by God, for God says, "I want you to work with this." God put this stuff in us. God is the only one who knows why and why we are to be what we're supposed to be and who we can possibly be. Now, you may be a typical kind of person and you say, "I'm going to, build myself without looking at the directions," all right? You know, like I'm an IKEA, something that came from the store. And that's maybe we're fine for putting the bookshelf together. You're a little more complicated than that. And God has insights in who you can be and how you can be and what your role in this world is that are beyond anything that you might even imagine. I think it's kind of good to consult with a designer as we put all this together. Okay, so we need help from God. We also need help from other men. We also need help from other women. There's a lot of reasons why God gave us fathers and brothers and uncles and friends and mentors. One of them is that no one person is going to figure this out by themselves. This is something that we do together in community. And it isn't just guys that are going to help each other. It's also women. There's a reason why God gave us mothers and wives and sisters and girlfriends in order for us also to sort through some of these things and to figure out what it is that it's all about. Now, some of you, this is an important, I think, point in here. Some of you might say, but it's those people, those guys and those women that are driving me to the stereotypes. They're the ones that are giving me these expectations that says, you either measure up to this or you're not a man. All right? And all I can say to this is what Brené Brown says in her book, Daring Greatly. If you've got a little kid, you might want to cover up their ears for a second because I'm going to say a word I'm not supposed to say in church. Don't listen to those people because they are not people that are helping you be a guy. They're not people that are speaking from what being your partner. They're assholes, okay? Don't listen to them. All right, you can let your kids listen again. So that's this last piece here. The people that God has given you, the community that God has surrounded you from is well summed up in the 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. If people are not building you up, if they are tearing you down, if the words that they are sharing with you are on that negative side, telling you, you don't dare be like this, you don't dare fail, you do not dare not bring home a six-figure salary, you do not dare show weakness, don't listen to those people. They are not building you up. They are not encouraging you. All right? You need different information. Folks, group life. I don't know if there's any place that we can surround ourselves with a group of people who are trying to figure out the same things we are, whether it's a men's group, a women's group, or a mixed group, and are on the same page and saying these are questions that we have to be thinking about right now, and we are willing to be accountable to each other to actually be encouraging and building each other up. I don't know where else you're going to find that. There are friends, and then there are friends that saying, I'm on a journey to be the person God made me to be. That's a different group of friends. They're both great to have, but I think we need that. So take this conversation to group life these weeks. I encourage you to try one out if you're not in one already. So remember, only listen to the healthy people, right? Only listen to the healthy ones. Beware of toxic people. And how do you know the difference between them? And I already basically told you. Those who help you discover how to be strong, those who are helping you wrestle with what it means to be brave, those are helping you discover how you can be confident even though, those are the people that are healthy. Those are the people that God is putting into your life for you to help figure out what is next for yourself. The ones that you don't want to listen to are the ones that are judging you. The ones that are in one way or another communicating, I dare you. You know, or you don't dare to be weak. You don't dare to be afraid. You don't dare to fail. So, this is a hard thing. Guys, I ask you to look deep within yourselves. Try to think, well, what am I trying to be? How do I be a man? How do I deal with some of the inadequacies I feel? Believe me, ladies, we guys, you know, we've mastered that confidence thing and stuff, usually with some of the stereotypes on the outside. We're scared silly. We are so afraid of being inadequate in our jobs, in our relationships, among each other. It's a problem. We need you to give us permission to be brave in new ways, to be confident, to be strong in ways that we haven't maybe always shown you, that we've been afraid to show you. We need to think about it ourselves. We need to talk to each other and trade notes, all right? Because this is tough stuff. Living in that messy middle is hard, but it is real, and it gives us the life that is really life. It connects us with God and each other in ways we can't imagine. Let's pray. God, we thank you for... We thank you. We are a mess. I'll speak for us guys. We're a mess. We don't know what we're supposed to do. We don't know how we're supposed to do it. We don't know how we're supposed to navigate our way through all these waters that are around us. So we're all going to take deep breaths, and we're going to be vulnerable, and we're going to try stuff. And it's not all going to work. We're not going to get it all figured out, but we're going to be on our way, and we know you are with us, and we ask that you take these people that surround us, those that are here in this community as well as those that are out in the world and our families and our work and our neighborhood and our groups of friends, and help them all also be somehow infused with your gracious love and understanding and open hearts so that they can give us a chance to try to do some real stuff with our lives. Help us to not only find that freedom within ourselves so that we can get out from what's trapping us, but also give us then the grace to do that for others. Help us to realize when it is that a friend needs a hand up, not a put down. Help us when that word of grace or understanding can be spoken from us to someone else. Help us understand what it means to be a person, but a person who is a man. You gave us a pretty good example. But he was around 2,000 years ago. So let that spirit flow into us. Let us be open to it. Let us take time. Help each and every one of us to take time to listen so we could be guided by it. And let us find our way forward. In your name we pray. Amen.